some announcements. There's a few of them because it's the beginning of the year, and by that time we might get a few more people in to actually hear the announcements. Okay, so let's hear the call to worship from God's word. Why are we here today? It's to praise God. Oh, praise the Lord, how good it is to sing him songs of praise. How pleasant to give thanks to him for all his gracious ways. Just think of that, all his gracious ways. He heals his people's broken hearts, restores the bruised and lame. He sets the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Beautiful picture, isn't it? The one who can call every star by name has infinite power, and that's why he can heal every bruised and broken heart. This is our God. Lord, as we come into your presence now, we ask that you will lift our hearts up to worship you, that we would be deeply conscious that we not only meet with one another and draw such joy and strength and love from meeting with one another, but we meet with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you that Christ himself is willing to meet with us at the beginning of a new year on this first Sunday, this first Lord's Day of 2024, to adore and praise and glorify his Father, your Father, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we ask that you will make your presence known and felt to us, that we will be conscious that God is here and speaking into our hearts. And your word is dynamite. It's power. You use it. You say you sanctify us through the truth, and your word is the truth. And we know that we need to be sanctified. There's things that we're going to carry with us into 24. We'd have been better leaving them in 23. So, Lord, please cleanse us and wash us. And make us into the men and the women that you're calling us to be. Mm. Bless us now as we raise our voices in praise and worship too, and hear us and receive our worship. May it bring joy to your heart. Amen. Mm. Friends, just a couple of, a few announcements actually. I'll go through them before I mention something else for prayer. Connect group training. This is a one-off for the training group tonight. We've got Sam Lago, who is the pastor at Cornerstone PCA Church, who's already doing these Connect groups. And he's going to come tonight to do a kind of Q&A and share some of his experience, because we're planning to launch our Connect groups in February. So for those who have been involved in that, please come along tonight, 5 to 6. Take your questions with you. That would be great. Youth group is also on tonight, 5 to 7. I think you may be meeting tonight just in here, because we're in Hope House, but it's 5 to 7 tonight here, so come along to that. That's, and I should say, middle school and above, isn't it? Or at least the top year of middle school and above. Women's Wednesday study, contact Terry about that. That's 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, and they'll be doing a study here in Hope House. And Hebrews study beginning January the 11th. Contact Dana. That's for Thursday mornings at 9:30 as well. And Women's Saturday study. That's Saturday, January the 20th. Now, usually it's the second. So I have noticed that's a change to January the 20th. Saturday morning kind of meeting, 8:30 to 10 a.m. at Dana's house, to looking at the book of Romans again. Anybody welcome to come along to that who hasn't been before. And the men's Saturday, that's also on the 20th, and I can't quite read the font, but I think it's 8 a.m., and it's usually here in Hope House, and see Jack Atkins for more details about that as well. Also, just to pass on behalf of the Streetman family, their thanks to all of you who have been praying for Monica Rose. She was born 7 months ago. Lots of complications, still complications, but the good news is, for the first time, she was able to leave hospital this week, and she's at home, and the care is around her, and so far, everything is going really well, and the family are just so grateful to many, many answers to prayer, to where they've been able to get to this amazing point. So thank you for praying for them. I also want to say that it's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today, communion, when we use the bread and the wine to remind ourselves of the body and the blood of Christ broken for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. If you're not somebody who's ever professed your faith in Jesus, if you're not a Christian, please just keep your seat during that and let that moment speak to your heart as you watch people receiving a physical thing that the offer is for you to receive something spiritual as easily and as freely as people reach for bread and drink for wine. You may come to know Christ as Lord and Redeemer if you turn to Him and ask Him to be Lord and Savior. And so the moment is for all of us in the building today, that God will use it and bless it to us. Now, with that in mind, let's join together with our voices and our hearts as we worship God and praise Him, and we open up with our first song. Let's stand and sing to the Lord's praise.
Please join us as we sing to our victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. victory that we have in Jesus Christ is because of his conquering death and sin. And we were talking about it on Wednesday, that like imagine that sense you would have if a whole cemetery just all of a sudden rose up. That would be incredibly awesome, especially if your loved one was there. And I remember the moment that I surrendered to Christ, and I remember this sense of absolute new life. I was 5, and I recognized the Spirit of God in me. And so we have victory in Jesus. Won't be able to stand still on this song. His cleansing power revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ever. give victory. Amen.
Please take a seat for a moment as we now read of that victory as well. I'm going to ask Bob to come up in a moment to read from Revelation chapter 2 and from verse 18. If you're not familiar with the book of Revelation, it is one of the stranger books of the Bible. But at the beginning, there's one more easier part where there's seven letters to seven different churches. They're all physical realities around what was modern-day Turkey. John, who wrote the book, he's given this message to each one, and some of the messages are very encouraging, saying the church is doing well, but most of them, even though Jesus highlights some good points, he also wants to deal with particular issues in them. And so we're going to read in Revelation chapter 2 from verse 18 to 29, and then Bob, if you can lead us in prayer after that for the new year. And that would be amazing.
Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we praise you, honor and glorify you in all. As we look ahead, Lord, to the year, the new year before us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would guide our every step. Holy Spirit, direct our steps. Use us so that we can be have an impact, I guess, in your kingdom here in the Lutz area and beyond. As we prepare to launch our connect groups in the next month or so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would use us to touch lives, to draw others to you, Lord, that we might have an impact for you and for your glory only, Lord, not anything but that. And Father, as we think about the Streetman family, Lord, and the blessing, really, that little Monica Rose has been able to come home now, Lord, there's still a long road ahead for them, Lord, and I just lift them up in our prayers, Lord, that you'd be with that family, be with Monica Rose, Morgan, Janice, Carol, and all those involved, Lord, and there's more. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide them, and we thank you for where we are thus far, Lord. Father, as we prepare our hearts now for the service ahead, Lord, open our minds, our ears, our hearts to the word that Chris will share as we look at the Church of Thyatira and help us to find application in our own lives, in our own church, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, amen.
It is with great joy that we get to give back to the Lord a portion of what he has given to us. It's time for tithes and offerings. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, therefore, this is for Christians, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Please stand as we sing of the victory we have in Jesus Christ, and sing this song to the Lord your God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and praise you. You have the victory. The battle's been won. And when we are at our desperate wit's end, in great sadness and sorrow, and just wondering what you're doing, we have confidence in you. Those of us who love you know you, and we trust you. And I ask that in this service today, that as Pastor proclaims and explains the victory of Jesus Christ, that we would be moved, that we would hold to the truths of Scripture, that we would have even greater confidence in who you are within our lives as our Lord and Savior, that lives would be transformed, that lives would be changed, that hearts would be moved to action, and that Holy Spirit, you would just meet every person in this room for the glory of our victorious Jesus Christ forever and ever, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For young ones, we'd like to head off to Hope-Filled Kids, and we trust that the Lord will bless you there as you learn more of the Lord Jesus. For the rest of us, would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And towards the end of our reading, I want to look particularly at a verse there. So Revelation chapter 2, To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and dash them to pieces like pottery. He's quoting from Psalm 2. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. 2024, you've made it to another year, and we want to praise God for that and not just take it for granted, because life is always a gift. And so as we enter into 2024, what should our attitude be? How should we enter into 2024? One of the great British heroes that we have is Winston Churchill. And in many ways, he exemplified what it was to be a leader, particularly through the darkness of the Second World War. And one of the points that one of his biographers brought out about his ability to lead was the way in his oratory, when he talked to people, the way he could bring two things together. He could bring realism about how dark the situation was, and particularly at the beginning of that war, it was a very dark situation. Britain was at one point standing pretty much alone. And then he brought the realism, and then he fused it with vision in the same breath. And that ability to combine realism and vision and with hope together is really what was so fueling his ability to speak to a people who faced darkness. And so when you come to the beginning of a new year, and as we use the lens of this particular scripture, somebody's trying to get into the church from the back, and as you use the lens of this scripture to look into 2024, I want you to see those two things. Realism and a vision of hope, as Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus in the book of Revelation, speaks to his church in the early part here in these letters. In this particular letter to the church in Thyatira, you see this combination coming together. Now, as we said, he had to speak to seven churches. And seven is one of those special numbers in the book of Revelation, picturing completeness. He's really speaking to all his church, not just then when John was writing it 2,000 years ago, but as a message for the church right till Christ returns again. And in those seven letters, you're getting a reflection of different churches and different stages of their experience, some with good points and only good points, and some with a mixture of good and bad. And Thyatira is one of those that's a mix of good and bad. But what it's promising here is that as he was holding out a future for them, and as he does so afresh this morning for us, he's promising a light that can shine into the darkest of places. The realism is there. There can be things that will be dark in 2024. But the vision of hope is also there, that there is a light, you see, particularly at the end of the chapter of our reading, that can shine into any darkness, and it's marked with the very victory of Jesus Christ himself. So what you see here, as you look in from verse 20, is a victory over the darkness. You see that victory because there's an authority given over darkness. And then you get that picture of the light in the midst of the darkness. And I want you to take these words and understand that this is Jesus Christ speaking to you today, to us corporately, yes, but to you individually as well. That whatever 2024 may bring, you need to see the reality and the power of this one who is speaking to you now, and who can speak in these terms and can talk about victory even when things are really pretty complicated and pretty difficult in life. So let's look at that first of all, that victory in verse 20. You see there that the realism comes out. He talks to this church, blazing fire, and this amazing description of Jesus in verse 18. Verse 19, some good news. I know your deeds. It's always good to start with the good news, isn't it? And he says, yeah, there's a church. It's an amazing church. It's got love, deeds, faith, service, perseverance. You're doing now more than you did at the beginning. Great church to be part of, isn't it? But, verse 20, but nevertheless, he then comes out with this serious dose of realism. I have this against you. And then he talks about this false teacher, this Jezebel, that's lounge. It goes back to the Old Testament, to one of the wicked queens in the Old Testament. And basically what it's particularly focused on is issues of teaching and immorality, all mixed in with the good things of verse 19. Now, I don't want to get into those details. I want to get to the end of the chapter, the end of this letter. But just this utter reality is encouraging in itself. That Jesus is going to talk about victory, but he does so in utter realism about the issues faced by his people. There is no really perfect church. And this was certainly not a perfect church. There were genuine problems within it. And the very fact that you then get this promise of victory and light is highlighted by the darkness and the issues that lay in this church. When you go to a jeweler's shop and you might want to buy your wife a diamond, say, a jeweler will take out that diamond and put it on against a black cloth, a sable cloth, so that the very light will be reflected off the diamond more perfectly. You'll see every angle and every cut in it. You need that dark contrast to let the diamond's light come up. So when Jesus is speaking these words of victory, don't lose the context. This church had issues. This church has its issues. Every church has its issues. You have your issues. I have my issues. Nobody in this building today is perfect. Now, here's the funny thing. Some of you come in and say, oh, I look at the people in the church and they look like they've got life all together and they're all so happy. Praise God if that's true. But you would be surprised at how complicated life is really for most people. And then it can be complicated, not just by life and issues and general rigmarole of life, but by sin. There was false teaching here. There was immorality here. There was food being offered to idols. So there was compromising in their belief system. Everything was going on here. There was a need to repent, verse 21. There was an unwillingness to repent. There was suffering so that knock in life would cause repentance. All of these things were going on, and yet despite that, Jesus could offer hope. Despite these realities, these problems, he's talking in terms of victory. Victory that would come from where? The power of God. The authority of God. But to people as messed up as this, well, then the mercy of God as well. This is telling you a lot about who God is. That he could offer such victory and hope to a people who were clearly very far from perfect. In fact, it tells us there in verse 19, Jesus speaking, I know your deeds. He knows they're good ones in verse 19, but he can also turn around and say, I know all of your deeds, maybe the more hidden ones. Christ is with us this morning. Where else would he want to be? Because he loves us. You are his bride. He wants this new year to begin in his living presence. But he moves amongst us this morning. And he says to you, I know. I know. I know what you might be hiding from other people. Maybe things you even want to hide from yourself. Definitely you want to hide it from God. It could be in the very specific area of sin that was mentioned in Thyatira, of sexual sin and immorality, failure in that area. Could be in another area completely, in relationships or whatever it might be, but where sin has its ugly grip upon you. And he says to you this morning, I know. That's concerning. But there's also hope in that knowledge of Christ over our sin and our failure. Because he's still reaching out to us. He's still saying, look at how I can transform situations to the point that I can offer victory and hope even in the face of your inner battles with darkness. So, as you and I, as we each go into 2024, I want you to ask yourself, what baggage are you carrying from 2023 that really should stay there and not be carried into 24? What areas where you're really battling with sin and failing regularly? Areas in your character, the way you respond under pressure. Where are you short when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit and you're constantly failing there? Could 24 be different? Could you have a breakthrough in those areas? Yes, if you're willing to turn from those things and turn to Christ and seek help. And seek counsel and seek support, seek accountability, and all the other ways and graces that Christ uses to bring victory, even in the face of the realism of our own darkness, our shortcomings, our issues, whatever they might be. And how important it is that we get ourselves sorted out before we play the role of a hypocrite and say, hey, we're Christians. We got the message that can save the world. And you need to believe in our Savior Jesus. Because he can fix you. Well, that's all true. But if this Jesus isn't fixing us, it's a bit rich to go and offer him to everybody else. Our life must measure up to our lips. And together then we extend through our life and our lips, then we can extend this victory, which isn't just about us, as you'll notice here, and among us, but amongst other people. He's describing this victory here in terms of verse 26, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Then he quotes from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm about Jesus as Messiah. And then just as I received authority from my Father, he's saying, I'm going to give authority too. So, over the nations. Now that is about the missionary mandate to go to all the world and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to preach it to anyone and everyone. It doesn't mean that as the church gets this authority from Jesus as king, that we are to establish a theocracy on earth. You know what theocracy means? A democracy is the rule of the demos, the crowd. Theocracy is the rule of a theos, a god. We're not here to establish theocracies. We are here to establish the kingdom of God, which, as Jesus said, is not political, but spiritual. It has a huge impact in the here and now and transforms communities and countries, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And there's something here that he's saying that I'm giving to this church, no matter how many issues it has had, I'm going to extend my authority to it so that it can bring a light to those who need it. So when he says, I will give my authority over the nations, he's saying there's somebody who's already got authority over them, Satan. And what he does is he blinds people to the truth that God exists or who Jesus Christ is. Don't ever think if you're not a Christian today that it's somehow some spiritual neutrality. You're just saying, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. No, you're blinded. That's what Scripture says. And that's 2,000 years of experience has shown to the church. People are blinded to the truth. But here's the thing. There's an authority given to those of us who are in Christ to proclaim Christ with such authority and power that lies can be ripped away, torn away, and suddenly eyes that were blind to all of this will suddenly see. So suddenly, you know, you've been coming to church for a few months or a few years, maybe for a long time, all your life. You're bored. All you want to do is be on your phone. You never listen. And then suddenly you begin to change. Suddenly it begins to penetrate and you're listening and you're gripped. And you say, that's me. He's talking about me. You see, what's happening there is this authority of Christ is coming through the church and is tearing away the lies over your eyes. And you're beginning to have them opened. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, talks about how Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. But it's that very thing that now through your life and your lips, the words that you share, the authority of Christ comes through your life and your lips, and the lies can begin to evaporate. That is a victory. That will transform people's lives. And that's what you have in Christ. That's the victory. How does it come? Well, the second point, the authority is there. You have to have an authority in order to have a victory. And so, how does Jesus describe this authority over the nations? Verse 27, just as I have received authority from my Father, so you receive authority from Jesus. That's what he's saying. Now, how did Jesus receive authority from the Father? He had power without measure. He obeyed the Father. He lived in harmony with the Father's will. He submitted to his will. He said, thy will be done, even if it meant death on the cross for him. And that meant that there was a certainty because of that. Jesus really did receive authority from God. The resurrection proved that. It was God's way of saying, look, I accept everything Jesus has done, all his acts of obedience. And so now, whatever might concern us in 2024, you have to see that under the authority of God. And under that authority as it comes through Jesus into his people. What worries you about 24? Any concerns? It's an election year in America. You have to be concerned. The world is concerned. Your own family, health issues, uncertainty in your work. Maybe you're coming towards the end of your college or high school and thinking, what am I going to do next with my life? There's all kinds of concerns that can actually make this transition of a new year, 2024, maybe you're full of fear. Maybe 23 wasn't so good. Maybe you're thinking 24 is going to be worse. And that could be. You just don't know how it's going to work out. But here's the thing. To those who are walking with Christ, as he says, to those who are victorious, I give an authority. I give an authority that's comparable to the authority that I receive from my Father. And so, as Jesus knew God as Father, you can know God as Father. And when you know God as Father, you know the power behind the universe, the power that created all the galaxies of the universe, the power that formed every microorganism in your body. And he is personal. He's revealed. And he calls himself, tells you to call him Abba Father. That is amazing. And if you are really gripped by that truth, Don't you think that should make a difference to how you look at 24? That your God is your heavenly Father, just in the same way as he was to Jesus Christ. And the utter confidence and power that Jesus demonstrated because of that is now being extended in through his church. Does that mean you'll understand everything that will happen to you in 2024? No. Does it mean that every prayer that you offer will be answered with a yes? Thankfully, no, because we ask for some dumb things in prayer. But does it mean that you can face 2024 with hope, realism, and vision fused together? Amen. Let me hear your amen. Yes, you're awake. That's the reality of what it is to be in a room right now with the risen Lord Jesus Christ walking amongst his church, as he did here amongst the 12, the seven candlesticks, which represented the church then, and he's saying, I will give my victory. To those who overcome, I will give my authority. His victory from his authority. And then what does it lead to? It leads to our effectiveness over the nations to fulfill the missionary mandate, to share your faith, to be active in telling other people about Jesus. For those of us who are going to be doing the connect groups, we're going to have to invite friends and invite neighbors to a meal and then share the gospel and then invite them to a Bible study every week. That's big for us. That could be overwhelming. I'm sure some of you are quite positively terrified. But the power, the authority, it all flows from the throne, but it flows through us. That means we should be able to do this with boldness, with confidence. Not looking at ourselves in the mirror, but at what Jesus will do through us. Friends, you don't have any excuses not to share your faith. Because it isn't about what you do. It's what he does through you. And there will be nothing that will be more exciting to you than to see God use you to bring the light and love of Jesus to someone that you care about. It is rocket fuel to your faith when you see Jesus transforming people's lives. We all need to experience that as Christians. I think it's the gas that's lacking in the tank for so many of us. So no excuses. The authority is there. And what will it look like when you got this victory coming through this authority? He leaves you with a picture of what it looks like as you go into 2024. He says it's going to be like light in darkness. And he uses a very beautiful and a very specific picture at the very end of the letter. When he says in verse 28, I will also give that one the morning star. What's that all about? You know what the morning star is? It's the planet Venus. It would come and be seen clearly in the night sky, just before the sunrise, just before the dawn. And before the dawn is also what? It is the darkest moment of the night. And so in the very darkest moment, there's this promise of light, of the rising of the morning star. If you've ever been out in the darkness, so you're not in Tampa, no street lights, no cars driving past, somewhere out in the countryside, and you don't even, let's say your cell phone, run out of batteries. So there's no signal, and you don't even have the light on your cell phone, you're fried. You mean you really are in darkness. That is such a rare experience for modern people today because we are physically attached to these things, aren't we? So there you are in a place with no light, no source of light, no source of communication, and you're walking along a road, and let's say it goes rough, so it's not even a smooth tarmac road, you're on a hill somewhere, you literally would not know where you're putting your next step. That's how dangerous it is to walk in the darkness. Anybody who's been caught out in the hills or the mountains in total darkness terrifying. If you can't even tell where your next footstep is going to take you. And it's into that situation that the promise of light is given at the darkest moment of the night. That's when the morning star is seen in the sky. The darkest moment. And he's saying, I will give you that light. And you say, well, that's nice when it comes, but what exactly is it? Well, that's easy because John tells us later on, chapter 22, in verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So to his people, he's giving what? His living presence. When is he giving it to them? In the darkest moment. He gives himself. And so as you go into 2024, are you hopeful? Have you got fears? What does he say to you? I am not going to give you anything less than this. I am going to give you myself. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. And when that truth lays its hands upon you and grips you, and you know that the light of the world is with you in the darkest of moments. So there's the realism and the vision. Then you can face anything in 2024 and beyond. That's all it's saying. How could he do that? Well, as we come in a moment to the bread and the wine, what are you literally tasting? In the bread for the body, the wine for the blood, you are tasting Christ's experience of darkness. He descended and fell into the darkest darkness of death itself when the Father turned his face away from him. And all he knew was utter hell. He couldn't get a greater darkness because no one had experienced a greater light than Jesus, the second person of the triune God. And then it was just dark. So when you take the bread and wine, think you're taking the very symbols of Christ's own experience of darkness and, in the same bite, in the same swallow, the very symbol of his victory over the darkness of our sin and alienation from God. From God. So taste and see. Because the story doesn't end with the brokenness of the bread and the wine. What happened after the cross? 3 days later, the light shone again. In the darkest moments for those disciples of Jesus, when they thought the game was over, Christ is risen. Friends, it's a living Jesus that you walk with today into 2024. A living Christ. His story then has now become your story by this massive bridge of faith and salvation and the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to walk with Jesus Christ today. You must turn to him, which means turning away from living life your way and now living life his way. You must turn from your own sin and instead take it and lay it at the feet of the cross and say, did you not die that these sins might be dealt with? And he will say, yes, I did. Come, follow me. And wherever your footsteps lead you in 24, there'll be another set of footsteps beside you. or as the old footprints pictures to you, it might only be one step of footprints when he actually has to carry you. But he will be with you. He who is the risen King of glory. He who is God over all. He who has the unique relationship with the Father and makes it now possible for you to enjoy the same. So, back to Churchill in conclusion. Here's a word that can lead us into 2024 because it combines those two things. The realism about darkness and sin and all that we might face, and the vision of hope. Between those two things, you can walk confidently in Christ and all that he may ask you to do this year. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then let's come and taste and see that God is good. Lord, as we come to this special moment when we want to eat the bread and drink the wine to remember Christ until he comes again, we pray that you would feed us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us such a confidence in your victory, a confidence in your authority, that no one will be able to shut us up about talking about how great you are. Lord, bless this moment now. Help us to be in awe of the fact that here are the elements that symbolize death, and yet we taste victory. Draw near to us, Lord. Whatever we may take from 23 that's not right, we want to leave it at this table when we come forward in a moment. Even if it helps us to visualize things in our life that we don't want to carry into 24, we just want to dump it at the table as we take the bread and the wine that symbolize having you. Lord, if there's something specific you want to show us this morning that you don't want us to carry, you really want to deal with, show it to us in this moment in your presence. There's an area of weakness where we need strength. May we taste you afresh now and find strength in this living communion with you. Lord, hear us, we pray. Deal with us now, we pray. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. If I could ask the elders to come forward as we distribute. If you haven't been before, I should ask you to come round the back and down the center aisle to take the bread and the wine to your seats so that we can just eat all at the same moment and drink in remembrance of what Christ has done. The Gospel of Luke described the very first communion. An hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And then, a few verses later, he said, "I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." That's why we do this until he comes back again, because one day we will be feasting forever in the presence of the King. Lord, we ask you to take this bread and bless it to us, this wine, and use it as a means of grace, of strengthening us, fortifying us, enabling us to taste your victory and use and exercise your authority in seeing people come to see who you really are. Bless us this day. Bless us now as we come into your presence in this special way and ask that there be things that we can leave behind of a past year and past years, and that you will bring us into new areas of spiritual growth and freedom and service and joy and deeper love for you and our fellow man. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. So as the Lord said on that night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, giving thanks, and then took the cup, saying, "This is my blood poured out for your sins. Please come and receive." Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of him." This is the blood of Christ, poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink in remembrance of him. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you. Whatever our footsteps may take us in this new year, we thank you that we will be walking beside you. May we never wander from you. May we keep close to you. May your will be our greatest delight and our greatest freedom, and lead us and direct us in all your ways, and use us to bring your love and your light to people around us. Hear us this day, we pray, for your own glory. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand. Let's raise up our voices in adoration before our great God and King.
This is a new song for us. It ties in the victory of Jesus Christ and communion that we just took because of what he has done for us on the cross.
Death
receive his blessing and part this place with his peace upon you. He who said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we truly receive these words and believe on them. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen.